Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Analyzer. Joining us today is Phil Thomas, CEO at AIS Resources Limited. The company trades on the Toronto Stock Exchange, AIS, and on the OTCQB, AISSF. Thanks for joining us today there, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, Juan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. So please start off by providing us there with a intro of the company for some of our listeners here that are new to your story.
Yeah, sure. AIS Resources was incorporated in 1967, so we've been around a while. We were an oil trader in those days, and I took over as CEO in 2016. We initially started in the lithium space, which is an area that I've had 20 years or so of experience. And when COVID hit and some of the other issues that impacted our lithium exploration, we decided to regroup and have a look at the gold markets. And so we found three exciting, very highly prospective gold projects in Australia. And the first one is Yalgogran, which is in New South Wales. I live in Melbourne, so it's up near Sydney. And then we built, bought another one, which is called Fosterville Tooling, which is 10 kilometres from the famous Fosterville mine, which has the highest grade of any gold mine in the world. And it's literally 10 kilometres away. You can stand on top of the hill and see the trucks moving around. So we're in fairly close proximity. And then Kingston, which was a gold mine project in the 1980s that was very heavily researched by Western Mining Corporation and BHP. And so we've got three gold projects. And I think at some other point in time, from a strategy point of view, we'll probably end up back in lithium. But we need to let COVID and immunisation take a role before we move there. So at the moment we're drilling at Yalgogran. We've finished 160 metres just yesterday. We've seen disseminated sulphide mineralisation from literally 15 metres down to 160 metres. So that's a big mineralisation envelope. We've sent all the core off to be sawn, and it'll be broken up into 1 meter intervals and sent to the lab for fire assay and an ICP and element analysis, so we can see what sort of sulfides we've got and how much gold's being carried, if any. It's pretty exciting because we drilled underneath an old mine, which called the Neighbours Mine, and we'd put a RC drill hole down there previously. And we got 2.9 grams per ton over a 14 meter interval in about a 25 meter deep hole. So we know there's gold there. And the boys are just starting this morning, getting the second hole lined up, ready to go. And that's a 10 hole program at this stage. And the geophysics we did was exceptional in the sense that the inversions and the analysis that the geophysicists did seemed to be right on the money. So we're pretty excited about Yalgogran. Tooling, we've got to do a little bit more work on defining the structure to try and hit the reefs. There's plenty of evidence of gold being taken out in a mine which sits on the border of our project there. I think it was something like 10 grams per ton or 7 grams per ton for quite a significant amount of gold. So we know the gold exists in these tension vein structures that come up around the faults, and we've got two faults on either side. We've got the Mount William fault on one side and another bunch of faults on the other side, which is the Whitelaw fault, the major one, and then there's another couple of faults, and then you run into the Fosterville fault, which sits over the Kirkland Lake Fosterville fault. So how does that sit in terms of revenue and cash flow? We would be looking to develop Yalgogran into a mine if it passes through the feasibility study process. Yalgogran, we've got to finish the geophysics and start a fairly substantial drilling program there. And Kingston's got so many mines that we need to do some geophysics, and then we'll start drilling under a couple of those old mines to move forward and keep our eye on what's happening in the lithium battery metal space. So that's just a brief overview of where we are today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So can you bring us up to speed on some of the most recent news? As you had mentioned, the drilling commencement today at Yalgogran, and you also had, you know, acquisition there recently.
Yeah, most of our news has been around the Yalgogran geophysics, because we put a fair bit of effort into getting that exactly right and trying to better understand the mineralization model. The geophysics has, if you look at the chargeability and the resistivity, the chargeability is exceptional, and it actually doesn't follow the soil sampling for gold. So we did a 240 ppm, and all of this, by the way, is on the presentation at our website, aisresources.com. And you can see there the outline of the isobar of all the gold that we found on the surface, but it's kind of perpendicular to what the geophysics says the mineralization is, and we'd probably expect that anyway. But we're looking for planes of tension faults in the ground, and obviously we want to drill through those to identify their structure, so we can basically improve our understanding of the mineralization and come up with a resource statement of how much gold is there. The other major issue is the deep ground penetrating radar that we've been doing in Fosterville, and that's been very, very enlightening, in the sense that we can see all the paleo channels where the gold has formed, and we can also see some surface structures. Interestingly, the bedrock basement is only 25 to 30 metres, so if we did do an open cut in Fosterville Tourline, it wouldn't be very deep, and so obviously that reduces the cost. But we need to find the feeder reef structure, and that's why we want to run the gravity survey. Plus, we can see something happening on the western side of the tenement, and we want to better understand that. We have 500 metre, I think, and 300 metre gravity, but we need to do it at 50 metres. So our news releases have been done around that, and I think the guys are starting on the 24th of March to run the gravity survey.
Great. And so, yeah, what are the main goals that you're looking at here over the course of the next 6 months that you're hoping to accomplish?
Well, we want to try and come up with an indicated or measured resource statement for Yalgogran, and that will then kick off and that will require probably the first 10 drill holes, and then another round of drilling more closely spaced. Then that will, having a measured or an indicated resource statement, will allow us to go into a feasibility study in the second half of the year, and basically get to design of an open cut mine. We've already started that process right now. We've been talking to the environmental people in New South Wales, and they've been highly supportive of us. It's on private land, so we don't have any native title issues to work through, and it's got great access, plenty of power right next door, so it's quite a attractive place to build a mine. Fosterville Tourline, if we can find the structure there, that will be the big one, I suspect, because these faults are quite long, you know, a couple of kilometres at least. And we're once again, we've got to put together a drill program in the next 6 months, which hopefully will hit pay dirt. And if it doesn't, it's probably not a total disaster, because it'll give us some valuable strata information. And then we can look and see what happened and where we should be drilling. So we're quite happy to push Fosterville pretty hard up to at least the end of the geophysics stage over the next 6 months, and then get ready to drill probably in the next 6 months after that. If we can do it faster, that'd be great. The good thing about Australia is there's no COVID, so we're not constrained. The only place you have to wear a mask is at the supermarket. So other than that, and public transport. So we're not constrained in any way through COVID to get things done. And then Kingston, we will probably work on that as a third part of the project. We're keen to get a geophysics survey done in the next 6 months through there. Once that's done, that will give us a really good indication of where to go, and we'll probably do some soil sampling and take it from there. Not much point in doing trenching because there's mine pits all over the place, and we can just go down those and XRF the walls and get going. So we've got a fairly big geological team. We've got three geologists and two geophysicists, all consultants that we, apart from our chief geologist, to work with. So we've got plenty of horsepower to complete these tasks.
Certainly. So what are the factors that you feel make AIS unique from some of the other players in the sector and able to capitalize on the key trends?
Well, we've got two late-stage projects and one early-stage project. Typically, I look for projects that have had a lot of exploration, plenty of drilling, soil sampling, geophysics, and all three of our projects have that. The key decider in making it successful is how good the people are, and I've had 40 years' experience in both the investment markets and the exploration markets, and I've put two projects into production. So that experience augurs well for pushing forward. Our chief geologist is exceptional. He was the senior consulting geologist at Kirkland Lake before he left and joined us. So it's great to watch a really professional geologist work. And I guess the other thing is we've got all the data from BA and mining, which are all their information. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, you're just cutting out. You're talking about the data?
Yeah, so the data that we have is exceptional. From drilling has been done at Fosterville. Drilling's been done at Tulane and at Kingston. So we have a good database from drilling. We've got good geophysics, but some of that needs to be updated, and that's what sets us apart from greenfield explorers that are saying, well, look, this is a maiden geophysics or a maiden drilling program. We already know what's there. All we're doing is improving and the understanding of the mineralisation and the mineralisation model, which is exactly what happened at Fosterville 3 or 4 years ago when they only had a 1.3 million ounce resource, and then they redid their modelling and re-looked at their drilling and came up with 5.4 million ounces. So it's a proven approach that works particularly well, and we've just been fortunate to be able to buy projects exceptionally well and have near-term revenue production opportunities, which is what our major goal is.
And so perhaps you can talk to us about your background and experience there, Phil, and you know who the key management is.
Yeah, sure. Well, excuse me. Dennis Walsh is our chief geologist, and he basically runs all the exploration, working with the contractors and working with the service providers. I'm CEO. I've qualified as a geologist. For my sins, I'm almost also a certified mineral valuer with the Australasian Institute of Mineral Valuers and Appraisers. So we have a pretty good handle on geology and valuation. We have a good team of directors. We have Anthony Baum, who's our independent director based in London, who has a lot of experience both in investment banking of mineral projects and running his own projects. Kiki Smith is our finance director. Martin Element is our executive chairman. Martin's been around for a long time in Toronto and Vancouver in the Canadian and the UK markets. Ran his own investment banking operation, Element and Associates, and he's a great backstop as a chairman. Myself, I've been CEO of a couple of mining companies, Admiralty Resources, for 6 years, where we basically explored for nickel and cobalt at Pike Hill. We did a lead, zinc, silver project in Bulman in Northern Territory, and I put together the Valinor iron ore company and operation and put it into production. We sold just under 500,000 tonnes of iron ore in the 2 years that we were operating. And, of course, I put together the Rincon lithium project. So I'm used to doing multiple projects simultaneously. So if we put Tourmaline and Kingston in operation together, then that's fine. We can manage that quite easily. We have a depth of consultants around us who we bring in and as required. And so we don't have a big burn. In fact, I think our monthly burn is less than 50,000 Canadian a month. And that covers salaries and rent and other bits and pieces, but not including exploration expenditure, of course. I qualified as a geologist. I spent a lot of time in optimization of Olympic Park's extraction strategy. I've done a lot of drill hole analysis. I've done a lot of geophysics. I've completed the course Geophysics for Geologists, which is quite a challenge. So I've got a reasonable background in geology, although I don't claim to be in Dennis Walsh's league. But it's good to, and Dennis said one of the reasons he joined us was the CEO was a geologist, so we can talk and discuss stuff. And that just helps the company go much more smoother. We can make decisions much more succinctly and have a much better decision-making process as opposed to relying on consultants and trying to understand what they're saying. So overall, the board works well. We're looking to, we believe we're very undercapitalized, and we're looking to increase the capitalization of the company significantly through the Yelgogren and Fosterville.
Great. So once again, joining us today is Phil Thomas, CEO at AIS Resources Limited, which trades on the Toronto Stock Exchange, AIS, and OTCQB, AISSF, currently trading at 6 cents a share U.S., and market cap is about 9 million U.S. So before we conclude here, why do you believe investors should consider the company as a good investment opportunity today?
Well, I think the telling point is if you look at all the other shares that Canadian and Australian that are operating in the market and look where we are, and the quality of the projects that we have and the quality of their projects, you can see that we're significantly undervalued. We're probably closer to production than most others at this stage, so the downside risk is fairly low. The upside risk is substantial. And if we see a $2,000 a ton, grams per ton gold price again, I believe that we'll go fairly quickly. We're just on the cusp right now of getting some significant information on the assays from this first drill hole. And if it has been accretion of gold and not dilution of gold, then that will significantly increase the share price. And most people want to buy cheap and sell at the top of the market. Well, I can't tell you what the top of the market is, but I know we're cheap in relative comparison to our peer group, and I think that's the telling thing. We've got a great management team. Everyone works well. Everyone's well educated and got plenty of experience. So those are the two key criteria that I use when I'm looking to invest.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your upcoming progress. And we'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today, Phil, and introduce our investor audience to AIS. It was great having you on.
Thank you very much, Juan.